This chapel message is brought to you by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations.
It's a pleasure to be here today and share the word with you and spend time with you because you have a wonderful organization here. And when I came to tour the facility, I was extremely impressed with just the grounds, the building, but also the kindness. And that's what drew me to join the CMDA and really hopefully further the vision that you have and just the work that I do in healthcare. So it's a pleasure to be here. When I was thinking about what I could offer, I was reminded by God, it's not what I can offer today, it's what He wants to offer. So I'm going to share these scriptures with you and then just give you a couple of personal experiences that maybe you can relate to and how we can use the power of obedience and unity and how that allows the Holy Spirit to work in our life and actually allows the Holy Spirit to further what He wants to do in His work. So I want to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 1 and go through about four scriptures here. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place," and I would just want to focus on that one accord today. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So a couple things I want to focus on just out of that scripture is just being obedient, and then secondly, being unified together. So years ago when I was in my doctoral program, I was at Regent University sitting in a chapel, and a popular evangelist came, and his name was Reinhard Bonnke. And he started to speak to us in that group, and as Reinhard was speaking to us as students, he said the following. He said, "Sometimes I don't feel God." And it just took me away, like surprised me, like here's Reinhard Bonnke, a gentleman who's credited with millions of people who came to know Christ under his ministry, and he's standing there in front of us saying, "I don't know God," or "I don't experience God sometimes." So we asked God this question. He said, "God, why are there times that I don't feel you? Why does it seem like you're so distant from me? Why can't I feel you all of the time?" And God said, "I want you to remember something, and I want to take you to the book of Genesis, Reinhard, where when I was creating the world, in around verse 3 of chapter 1, it talks about the Spirit was hovering. And then when God said, 'Let there be light,' there was light." And He said, "You know, Reinhard, when you're speaking the word, my Spirit is always there with you, and He's hovering, waiting to work. And all He's waiting for you to release the word. And when you release the word, it allows the Spirit to work in unimaginable ways." And I think about my own experience years ago, and I told Pastor Bert this as I first met him, as I went on a mission trip. And I know a big part of your ministry is working in the mission field. And God called me to go to a country named Honduras, and you're probably familiar with that country. But I'm from a small town in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, originally, and I had never flown on an airplane. And I'm like, "You're asking me to go where? You want me to go to Honduras? Is that really where you're calling me for?" And I could not get rid of this urge that God was saying, "You need to go to Honduras." And so I was telling my wife about it, and we had never been apart either, and it was kind of just a unique experience that just to even consider going on there. But I made a decision to go, and God worked in the ability for me to raise the funds and for me to go to Honduras. And I went as a nurse, and so it was a medical team that went over there. And we had hired a couple of Honduran physicians to work with us. And so I flew, and one of the first things that I got nervous about is not the first airlines that I got on, but it was the second airlines, and it was called Taka Airlines. And I'm thinking, "Wow, I've never even heard of this airlines. You want me to fly on Taka Airlines? Come on." And one of the planes that I was riding on had a crack in the interior windshield. I mean, it just kept getting better and better. You know, I was like, "I don't really know what God's got for me here." But I knew that I had to be obedient to God. That was the first step, is I had to be obedient. So as I'm on this trip and we get on this school bus, all the missionaries get on this school bus, we landed in Tegucigalpa, and then we're riding to a little community called Choluteca. And as we're riding on this school bus, we get stopped by these police officers. And the first thing the interpreter said is, don't take pictures, sit still, you know, don't do anything. And I'm just scared to death, being like, I don't know what's going to go on. Well, we made it through that first line, and so then we pull up to a motel, actually, and there are two security guards out with machine guns. And I'm thinking, this is just getting better for me. Like, I don't know why God said you got to go to Honduras. We decided not to stay at that because the motel had open doors, so there was not a lot of security. People could get to you, and we switched our plans to a hotel to where we could be interior and be safer on this calling. And then the work started to begin. So we built a medical clinic. In about 7 days, we laid cinder block that the locals had already homemade and baked out in the sun, and here we came. And at that time, I was working in the operating room in a very cool environment, and now we're near the equator, and I'm just, you know, trying to figure all these things out. It is hot. But I'm working, and we start to build this medical clinic. In about 3 days, the nurses went away to these local villages, and we started to work with these Honduran physicians. And one of the tasks that I had was to work directly with the physician myself as a nurse. And so when he would assess the patient, he would look at me and say, I want you to write this prescription. And the prescription was literally the name of the medication on a small slip of paper. And we would hand it, and the other nurses would fill the prescription because we had already bought a lot of medication and had it there waiting on us. So I started to do that, and each community was different that we went into, and people were just staring at you and looking at you. And if you've been on a mission trip, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I have blue eyes, and they don't have blue eyes, so they were staring at my eyes and all these things, and I'm just taking in this entire experience. But there was one village that actually comes to mind that I will never forget in my Christian walk with God. We went to this village that had been just savaged by a hurricane a few years prior. And on the sign, there were many countries' flags that had donated money to build this community. And it was just house after house. And it reminded me of a coal field town from maybe over near Dant, Virginia, or Trammell, Virginia. If you've ever gone in those directions, there are little homes after homes because that's the way the coal fields were built. And I was looking at that, and each one of those homes had an outhouse and a big water tower that actually fed the water supply to the community. But in the middle of that community was a church, and that's where we set up our clinic. So we set up the clinic in that church, and it didn't have air conditioning, all the luxuries, of course, that we have in many of the buildings that we attend every Sunday, or this beautiful building we're in today. But it had Jesus, and it had God. It had the Spirit of God. And as there was no luxuries there, it was super hot and only had pieces of plywood that was their windows, and so they opened the plywood to allow any breeze or anything that came through. But I can assure you, my memory is there was none of that. It was just hot. We set up curtains in the corners of the building, and that was our clinic, and that was our privacy. And so we would pull the curtain, and the physician would assess the patient, and then I would write on that little script of paper or sheet of paper, and we would fill the medication. And there was a little boy that I'll never forget, about the age of 7 or 8, and he came in, and he sat down on his mom's lap, and they're speaking their native tongue, and I'm just sitting there looking at what was going on, and the Honduran physician turns to me and says, Jeff, this child has a heart murmur. And he said his heart murmur is so large that I want you to place your hand on his chest and you will feel the swishing of his blood through the murmur of his heart. And I did exactly that, and I felt exactly that. He said there's no hope for him because they have no money. The only hope they have is to go into Tegucigalpa and maybe get treatment and surgery, but he doesn't have that. And this physician was a Christian, and he said, all you and I can do is pray. Well, I believe in prayer, and I hope you do as well, but I believe in prayer, and I know that prayer works today, and I know that obedience works, and I know that I was getting ready to unify with another believer who we were going to pray earnestly for that young boy to be healed. and we started to. So I had my hand on his chest, the doctor had his hand on him, and we started to pray. And I'll be transparent with you, and some people may think this is the weirdest thing that has ever happened, and I've never experienced this before in my Christian walk with God. But as I had my hand on his chest, I immediately, as we started to pray, I started to cry. And not that I haven't cried in my Christian walk with God. No, that's not what I mean. But I started to cry because there was a little boy who needed a healing. And it just really got to my heart and my spirit. And I just was broken for him. And I started to cry. And as I was crying and just weeping before God with just this earnest that, God, you need to heal this boy. I'm praying for healing for him. What happened next is something that I've never experienced before. And I've heard about it, but I experienced almost like a jolt of electricity. And it actually hit the top of my head and went through my body, through my hand, and I felt like into that boy to where it even broke me more because the presence of God was so strong. Just like I read in the example of Acts, where the Holy Spirit came in such a powerful way because of their obedience and because they were unified together, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And the result of that experience in Acts gave just wonderful results after that, to building of churches, to salvations, and all that came with that, because a group of people were unified and obedient together. And as I experienced that, I just had never felt God's presence that strong ever in my life. And so as we got done and that mom and that little boy left our clinic area and we wrapped up for the day, I was riding the school bus back to the hotel. And I said to the people that I was traveling with, two of them nurses that I actually worked with in the operating room, we all went together on this mission trip. And I said to the people that I was traveling with, I said, you will not believe what I experienced today. And I started to describe that experience of exactly how God visited us in a mighty way. And as they listened to me explain this experience that I had afterwards, they said, Jeff, but you won't believe what we saw. And I said, well, what did you see? And they said, well, Jeff, you know it was hot in the church. And I said, yeah, it was hot in the church. And there was not a breeze blowing today. And I said, no, there was not a breeze blowing today. They said, but when we heard you two over there praying in that corner, all of a sudden a breeze started to blow into the church. And they said it wasn't coming through the windows because when we looked in the corner of that building, we saw the sheet blowing outward from the corner of that building. Now, friends, I'm going to give you today that through obedience by saying, yes, Lord, I'll go, and being unified with other believers, the Holy Spirit visited in a powerful way, and there was a powerful thing that happened at that moment in that young man's life. I believe that, and there was a powerful thing at that time in my 20s that happened in this young man's life. It was God saying, Jeff, I'm real, and because you went, I'm going to honor that you went, and because you were obedient, I'm going to honor that you were obedient, and I'm going to show up like I've never showed up before because you were obedient and you were unified with it. We all had the same mission during that trip. So the people of Honduras gave us, that community gave us a church service that week, and it was on a Thursday, and I remember clearly that we were outside. And we were there, and they were celebrating us coming, and a local pastor had a church service. And there was a sermon, and there was an altar call, an altar call for people to come to the front outside. And do you know that that little boy's mom was in the audience, and she was the first one to stand up and go give her heart to Christ? Because there was unity and obedience. And we don't know when we're obedient to God what may be in the forefront or what may happen that we may never even see or experience, but because of our obedience and because we're unified. And I think about such a great organization that you have here. And I was asking God, what could I share with them? And those two words came to mind, be obedient. Be obedient to his will and then be unified. And that will allow God and allow his spirit to work in a mighty way. Well, the story doesn't stop there, which is quite tremendous. I have a friend whose name is Leanne Thyman, and Leanne Thyman has had several partnerships with the Chicken for the Soup books, and she's had several partnerships for that. So Leanne and I had collaborated together, and we were talking about different things that she worked on. And I was telling her this experience that I had, and she said, "Jeff, I want you to submit that story to a chicken soup book." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that," not even thinking anything would ever come of it. But then I got an acceptance that my story was accepted. And it was in Chicken Soup for the Nurses, one of the editions for Chicken Soup for Nurses, and that story is in there. And that story was published. I never really thought a lot about it, but just a few months later, after that book was published, I got an email through my Gmail account, and somebody said, "Are you the Jeff Radford that has the story in the Chicken Soup book?" And I said, "Yes, that's me." I have no clue how she found me, but I said, "Yes, that's me." And she said, "I just wanted to find you and tell you how much that meant to me and what that story did for me." Somebody in another country that I didn't even know. But that was because of obedience a few years before, and that kept giving. I want to give you just this other quick example. And it may not mean much to you, but it meant a lot to me. I had a car that I really liked, but I didn't really see a lot of value because I cranked it every 2 weeks, and so I sold it. But on that tag, on that car, I had felt impressed to put the word forgive on that tag. Now, on my truck, I had another tag, and I thought, you know what, now that I'm going to sell the car, I'm going to put forgive on my truck now. And I went to the DMV, and I had my tag switched, and I have forgive on my truck because I think it means I appreciate Christ's forgiveness for me. And that same day, I decided, well, I need to get to the post office, but man, my schedule is so tight. I don't know if I can get to the post office. Well, it all worked out that I could get to the post office. I go into the post office, and this is God's timing, by the way. I go to the post office right after I go to the DMV. I mail the package that I need to mail, and I come out, and there's a lady standing by my truck taking a picture. Well, I think most of you all would probably say, "Why are you taking a picture of my vehicle?" Right? You're just wondering what's going on. And so when I went up to her, she had tears streaming down her face. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Is this your truck?" And I said, "Yes, it's my truck." She said, "I needed to see the word forgive today. And there it is on your truck. And it has ministered to me that I need to forgive someone in my life." I go back to the obedience. And sometimes I wish that God would say, "Jeff, put forgive on your truck," or "Jeff, do this or do that." But sometimes it is that still small voice that I have to pause and be sensitive to and follow his direction. And if he's calling you to do something today, or those that are joining us by Zoom, go with that. Be obedient to God. And not only that, but be unified with other believers, because that will allow his spirit to work in such a mighty way. So when I look at that experience in the book of Acts, that was just not for the people in the book of Acts. That was a reminder to us today that obedience and unity, just as Reinhard Bonnke says, when he says the Spirit is always with you, sometimes he just needs you to release the word or release the action for him to move and show you things that you will never, ever experience on your own, because that's just how big our God is. So I appreciate the opportunity that I had when I was obedient, and although I rode these airlines that I weren't comfortable with, or these experiences in the mission field that actually caused a little fright in my life, when I left Honduras, I left a changed Christian, because although I knew God was real and I'd been raised in the church and my dad was a pastor and all those things, I knew he was real, but had I had my own experience, I had heard about other people's experiences, and I felt the goosebumps and the chills and all those type of things, but sometimes you just need to have an encounter with God. And at that moment in time, God visited us, and I had an encounter, and I often say because of that obedience and unity, there were two hearts healed on that trip, the little boy and his mom, who gave her heart to Christ. So I give you that today, and I just want to give you just a couple reminders as I'm closing out here that wind, that experience in the book of Acts, the wind that I talk about with that curtain blowing outward, the presence of God, is really the word wind in both Hebrew and Greek can be the word for spirit, or the word spirit in Hebrew and Greek can also mean wind or breath. It's a supernatural wind. It's not a natural breeze, but it's a manifestation of God's power. It's a manifestation of His power, and it's a supernatural sign from God to say, I am real, I am here, I am with you today. So I leave you with these three questions, and number one is, are we being obedient to God, or do we have a tendency to do things on our own? Well, I don't ask for hands to be raised, and virtually I can't see what people are doing, but I will raise my hand to say, there are times I do things on my own. And when I do things on my own and I'm not obedient, there are more times than not, and most of the time, those things don't go in the right direction that they should do. So the importance of obedience. And then I would say this question, or ask this question, are we waiting on God? Are we moving ahead on our own without Him? I'm glad that I said yes to that experience, because I can now share that experience with you, or it's been published and it can be shared with the world. But if I had not had that experience, maybe I would not have had such an encounter with God. But through obedience, I had an encounter with God that I can stand here today and tell you about. And then the last question I would ask is, are you united with fellow believers? Or are you united with people that may create division to hinder the Spirit's work? There is power of us today being together in this chapel, because we came to hear the Word of God. We came to hear what He has for us to hear from Him. And there's power with that. But there's also, on the negative aspect of that, if we are with people that cause division, how that may create chaos in our own lives. So I'm glad to be with like-minded people today, to start my morning with people that love God, that have a hunger after God, and to be in an organization that has a hunger to do God's will. There's power in that, because when we come together, God's will be done. Amen? I believe that as well. So I'll ask those three questions to you today and just remind you of the power of obedience and unity in our lives. And when we create this obedience, and when we're unified with God especially, then He will reveal things in your life that will just give you experiences like you have never known. Amen. Father, we just come to you today, and I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to present to this wonderful group of people, whether here in person or those that are online in the Zoom. I pray, God, that as your Spirit is here, that you are working in our lives, and let us digest this word you have. And God, when there are times that we have a tendency to go out on our own, Father, remind us that we need to be obedient to you and wait on your will. And God, let us just unify together as a body of Christ, so we can see your work being revealed in more ways than we have ever experienced before. God, I pray over this organization, Lord, that you will continue to unite this organization to make such a positive difference, not only in the lives of people in the United States, but God, in the lives of those in their global outreach. For those that are on the mission field today, I pray, God, that you just protect them, and I pray that miracles happen today, Lord, to remind them of your power. I pray, God, for those that work in this body that are sick, I pray for healing for their bodies today. God, I even, just this most recent tragedy, lift up the families impacted by this tragedy that happened last night. God, I'm reminded of that as I'm standing here today. We unify together, Lord, just asking you to minister in that way as well. We thank you for being a Father who hears us. We thank you for being a Father who is always with us. We thank you, Lord, that we're reminded that you will never leave us and you'll never forsake us. But God, you'll be there through the end of this life and welcome us, God, to a life eternal with you in heaven. I pray this in your name. Amen.